So unless you can manage your time, don't expect to manage money. Have you had people that come up to you and want to just ramble and do low talk, small talk, and take up hours of your time? How many have had those? Shoot them. Shoot them with a love gun. Plastic. Take a rubber band. Wear a rubber band around your thing and just pop them. Because what they're doing is, if you're allowing them to continue to ramble on and on and on like that, that's your valuable time. Now, that valuable time, you could be meditating. But whatever's on your value list, you want to figure out, how do you want to spend your time? There's a law now. If you don't fill your day with high priority things, it gets filled with low priorities. It's a basic law. If you don't fill your day and your time and your space with high priority things, it will get filled with low priority things. If you don't spend your money and your energy on high priority things, it will get spent on low priority things. Basic law. I used to call it Parkinson's law, but I modified it. I'm going to call it DeMartini's law now. If you don't fill it with high priorities, it gets filled with low priorities. If you don't decide exactly how you want to fill your day, when I was in practice, I realized that if I had idle time, I started worrying, wondering, doubting, etc. So what I did is I made a list of things that I could do that would build my business while I had an idle time. If I didn't have a hand on a patient, or if I wasn't doing a talk, or if I wasn't doing reports, I had a list of things that were high priority things that could build my business. So I basically made a list of things like calling clients, like doing thank yous, like sitting down and strategizing, like reading my goals, whatever it is. So I didn't have idle time. I had high priority things to do. When I did, I found out it worked more efficiently than if I didn't, because then what happened is whenever I had a little idle moment, a patient would come in and they'd end up talking and taking up my time, and it would just get filled with low priority stuff. I don't even know in business what I'm talking about. You just end up with chitter-chatter stuff. So fill your day and take command. Whoever in a meeting has the agenda rules the meeting. And in life, life's an agenda. And if you don't have the agenda mapped out, somebody else is going to build their agenda in there. And unless their values on wealth are bigger than yours, that value is probably going to drop instead of grow. Which leads me to the next principle. You want to associate with people that are wealthy. And let it rub off on you a little bit. And find out what's common to them. Years ago, I worked on a book called Lessons from the Masters. I never published the book, but I did it because I got so much out of it for me, I just kept it for myself at the time. Someday I might publish it. But I went around and I made a list in Houston first, and then I started doing it nationally, on the most successful people I knew. They were wealthiest I knew. And I went and called them up and said, I'm working on a book and I'd like to do an interview. And some of them said, no, I don't have time, this and that, and I can't get through to them. But enough people to do it, over 100 people, I sat down and I interviewed them. And found out what are the 10 most important things to do and what are the 10 most important things not to do in your life, dealing with success and wealth. And there were certain common threads that I learned. Some of them I'm sharing with you. But associate with people that have vision, that have dreams, that have goals, that have objectives, that are filling their time with priorities, that are building wealth, that are contributing to the planet, expanding the planet. And associate with them. I'm convinced if you associate with millionaires, you end up one. You associate with billionaires, you end up one. My wife and I thought of this strategy. We realized this is true. So we asked ourselves, we sat in our place in New York, and we said, where is it, out of all the places in the world, is the highest probability of people that hang out with wealth? And we thought, well, we're in New York. That's a pretty wealthy place. And then we said, where in New York do they hang out? Where in New York? And we thought, all right, Trump Tower, it's the most wealthiest piece of property in all of New York. And it's the tallest, most celebrated and wealthiest people right there in that one building. It's got more wealth than probably any other building. So we targeted ourselves to get in there. We moved in there. We moved on the 62nd floor there and surrounded ourselves with Steven Spielberg on the right, Kenny Rogers down the hall, the guy that owns Guess Jeans, Sophia Loren above us, Bruce Willis across and above us, Michael Jackson above that, and Donald Trump above that. We positioned ourselves to be surrounded by consciousness of wealth. How many of you understand? Just by consciousness. Then we also did the same thing with the ship. We thought, well, the ship is basically going to be filled with millionaires and billionaires because they have to have a certain standard to even get on there. So we'll target that. We'll associate with people that have wealth. Being on the ship, having dinner with certain people that are very wealthy, one idea is worth the entire cost of the ship. So my point is this, associate, Target the people you'd love to be with, that you'd love to resonate with. Who would you love to resonate with? How's our time on before lunch? 20 minutes, good. And write this down. Think of this through. If you have a dollar saved, you hang out with dollarers. You get dollar ideas, dollar opportunities, opportunities to make another dollar. And you get the compound interest. If you have $10 saved, you get with $10 errors, $10 ideas, $10 opportunities, and you're in the interest, earn the compound interest off $10. If you have $100 saved, you hang out with $100 errors, $100 ideas, $100 opportunities come to you, and you get the compound interest. If you have $1,000 in savings, net worth, you start getting $1,000 ideas. Think ideas and go make an extra $1,000. You start hanging out with other thousandaires. How many of you know a thousandaire? You start getting $1,000 opportunities, ideas. You have $10,000 saved, same thing. $100,000 saved, same thing. $1 million saved. Guess what happens? You get $1 million ideas starting to come to you. You get another idea on how to make an extra million. You get new opportunities given to you. You start hanging out with different groups. Dollarers, now you're hanging out with millionaires. And millionaires getting together come up with ways of getting more millions. Then you hang out, you got 10 million, and it keeps going. Millions, 100 million, billion. How many getting my point here? Make a list of the people you'd love to meet, the people you'd love to resonate with. It's a game of resonation. It's a game of energy. You have nothing to lose by calling them up and asking them, hey, I'd like to take you to dinner. And one dinner in a conversation you may pay $100 for, but you may get a $1 million idea out of it. My dream, because I had a dream and a vision. I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to share and step foot in every country and share my message. I wanted to associate with people who had global influence and global thinking. That was just a goal of mine, a dream of mine. The reason being is because I realized that I didn't ever get up in the morning and wish I could shrink. I didn't ever get up in the morning and said I wish I could hang out with some people that have no influence on the world. Can you understand what I'm saying? So I realized that I might as well not limit that. I might as well open it up. And as whoever's on the planet, I'd love to see and meet. I'd love to be able to say, oh, I'd love to meet the president, the prime minister, the celebrities, the people like that, just to find out what they're doing. Not necessarily that I want to be like them in all aspects, but I would love to be able to play in the game instead of being at the bottom of the barrel of life where I'm not able to self-actualize my life and I'm going to be living by somebody else's authority and somebody else's values and objectives. I'd like to find out what it's like to be at the top of the mountain and breathe and see what it's like and then dictate the destiny instead of being dictated by the destiny. Do you understand? And I'm absolutely certain that that's doable. I'm watching it manifest in my life because I'm following these principles. And by the way, if you saw me when I was 14 years old, at age 14, there was a time when I lived behind on the Pacific Coast Highway in Los Angeles behind the Golden Bear. Between a trash can and a wall, I was sleeping, and I lived on the streets, and I panhandled and bummed. Right? I didn't have food. I had to bum every day to get food. I lived on the streets. I left home. Part of my way to make it to Hawaii was to live on the streets. I had to panhandle and bum. So I've been where I had nothing. And now I'm having more and more wealth, and it's growing every year. And I've had both, and there's definitely more opportunities with the wealth to influence. And by the way, I noticed in my own life that as long as I was devaluing myself, my influence was smaller. And as I valued myself, my influence grew. And now I've got millions of people that are being influenced instead of tens of people or thousands of people. It's almost like the more wealth you get, the more influence you have. Do you understand my point here? The more influence you have, the higher the probability. Now, there's more accountabilities and more responsibilities by doing it. You have an accountability now to these influence. But life doesn't get easier. It gets more accountable. It's not about getting easier. It's about getting more accountable. And being accountable means to be able to bring your balance sheet into order, bring yourself accountable, financially as well as otherwise. But I ask myself, who do I want to hang out with? And I would love to be able to sit down and meet with somebody who's got global influence that has one decision to change the course of history. I'd love to just be brainstorming and creatively conversing with someone like that. That's thinking that way, to expand my mind. Because everybody here is getting up and they're not trying to shrink their mind, they're trying to expand their mind. They're trying to learn, and your wisdom grows every day, so you might as well hang out with the wisest people you can find in all areas of your life and surround yourself with that. I recommend that you go to the museums and hang out with the most masterful pieces of art that's ever been done. And walk through it. Go through the Louvre in Paris. Right? Or your museums here. I saw a museum just last night, a display, an art museum. It's a fabulous art museum. I wanted to stop in there last night. We went to dinner. I don't remember where it was, but we went over to Vino. She's gone there. But we saw some museum. I was going, I'd love to go there and see that art gallery. But surround yourself with people that are inspired by what they do, that have global influence. Whether it be an artist, a poet, a writer, a politician, a celebrity, a sports figure, anybody who is inspired and masterful and a professional at what they do, that have celebrated status, that have global influence, that touch people across the planet, go and hang out with them. You got nothing to lose by it. You got a tremendous amount to expand yourself by. And just for the mind stretching, and just for the resonation game. Because in the process of doing it, one idea, one contact, just may have just saved 30 years worth of work to earn one level, just may have jumped that to a whole new level financially. I was just in San Francisco, and a lady there she's got a television show, she's in Hollywood, she was at the program, she came up to me, and she said, you know what, that one idea that I got from you is worth millions. And I said, great, tell me about it, let's go to lunch. Because I didn't know it was worth that millions. That one idea, I didn't know. Tell me about that idea. And she gave me some contacts that I know if I follow up on, and she's going to help me with this, that one idea, because of one person that's got that global influence, will probably save me hours and hours and hours and hours underneath the edge of the tree instead of the top of the tree. So you want to stretch yourself. It's like a tennis pro. If a tennis pro keeps playing with people that are not very good at it, he won't grow his tennis or her tennis. But if they keep going out with the finest tennis players they can and hang out with some of the top pros, what do you think is going to happen to your tennis game if you hung out with the top leaders of tennis? There's a gentleman in Houston, Texas. His name is Jim McElvain. I know this gentleman. They call him Mattress Mac in Houston. He's an amazing guy. He's a guy you'd want to meet if you could meet him. He's opened up the Houston Masters Cup tennis system there. You may have seen it on television. One guy who wanted to play tennis. He has a big manufacturing and furniture manufacturing company. He sells tons of furniture. Largest furniture seller probably in the world. But he loved tennis. It's one of his hobbies. He said he wants to master tennis. He's about 60 years old, so. He said the best way to do it is to associate with the pros. So the best way to get the pros to come there is to put on a tennis tournament that brings all the pros there. So he became friends with all the pros by doing this and created this tennis tournament, built this tennis tournament place, and put it on the map, and did that with the help of Houston, Texas, and the politicians of it, started associating with that. Now he's global. He's now in movies. He's a guy who, he sold mattresses. He was down to his last $5,000 of his entire self-worth. He took a risk and started reading a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, started applying those principles in it, started saving his money, a portion of whatever he made, and today he's, God knows how wealthy this guy is. And he put a map of tennis in Houston now, Masters Cup. And he's associating with all the tennis pros, and he's getting private lessons by them. Why? Because he wanted to be able to master tennis.